State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Big Bang and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts, the hottest podcast in the streets. Visit the new website today, www.bigfactspod.com.
Live for First Class Sounds, you know who it is, DJ Scream, Big Bang, Baby Jade. And we got a special guest on Big Facts today. He goes by the name of Millie's. Millie's done pulled up on Big Facts.
Yeah.
What's up, what's up, what's up? How you feeling?
Nah, this was an important one to come to.
I'm glad. Timing is everything. We definitely had this in the conversation for some time, but I think this is the perfect timing. Everything
one thing
happens.
Really quickly before we get started, go I got to say it. Shout out to Chance. She made
definitely
me,
shout out to Shia.
She made us cupcakes daughter, with right lashes and cheeks.
Chance is the future.
Shout out to Chance.
Put my ass right down.
Millie's, what's going on, man? What's on your mind today? What's your mood? What's your vibration?
I'm good, bro. I'm like learning like how to be a nationally recognized artist is different. I've been him like where I'm from. I've been him forever, but now for the first time, I'm really learning how to like have an artist grind and what it takes. Like the last 60 days have been hectic. It's been just draining on your body, like the type of, you know what I mean? The type of situations you in constantly. I'm used to basically being able to do some shit and then fall back for 5 days. And it's not like that once shit starts heating up, but I'm taking every opportunity, you know what I mean? Cause it took a long time to get here. So I'm learning and I'm earning, you know what I mean?
What you think that moment was that kind of took you from being, let's say, we'll use the word underground, an underground artist to like a national.
I still feel like I'm an underground. I feel like I'm an underground superstar. I feel like that's like a category that needs to be out there and rap. Now, especially nowadays with like streaming and shit like that,
yeah,
like, there's a lot of underground superstars. Like, But I guess the moment, like, I really started to crack through, like, on some national shit, like the BET Cypher, mm-hmm. 2016. I finessed my way in there. They put me on national TV. I was the only rapper probably in the history of the BET Cypher to be in there with no PR, no label.
Hold on, you weren't
how
on,
did you do that?
You weren't on schedule to be?
No, I wasn't on schedule, bro. I knew a cameraman. Mm-hmm. Y'all know Chris Robinson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The director?
Yeah.
So his son, Lil Chris, mm-hmm. he shot the Cypher in Brooklyn. It's at like a warehouse. Mm-hmm. And he would tell me, yo, just pull up and maybe somebody don't show up. Mm-hmm. So in 2014, I pulled up. I sat for 3 days just hoping, like, damn, I hope somebody don't show up. It ain't happened. 2015, I get the drop on the location again. I slide back. I wait. This is when Kendrick Lamar, you remember when Kendrick Lamar said something, I'm the king of New York or some shit like that. So it was like a little tense. I remember that shit. He came through, did his BET Cypher. I sat for those 3 days. The next year, 2016. Now, mind you, I got bars this whole time. I know what I'm going to say. Like, and I know I'm going to out-rap everybody in this motherfucker if they let me in.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there. The first day in 2016, I'm prepared to sit 3 days again. I'm really prepared to do this shit for 20 years. Like, until, until it goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the first day in 2016, I'm sitting there. And they tell me, yo, somebody missed their flight. So I'm like, oh, it's lit. So Lil Chris is like, I'm going to send him your links and shit. So he sends the links to like Jesse Collins and Yomi and the lady Michelle, I believe is her name. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, they got your links. They looking at your shit right now. And I see him looking at the phone, but they just look wild, unimpressed and shit. And I'm at like the catering table where everybody's at. And I'm like, you think I should go over and talk to him? He's like, yeah, shit, you might as well shoot your shot. Because it looked ugly. It looked like it was clipped. Like they just look wild, unimpressed. And I got up, I walked across the room, everybody in there, it's like High Bridge, like A Boogie and them was in there, like I think Russ was there, like maybe not in the general place where I was at, but their camps definitely, like a lot of people, probably like 50 people in there. I walked across the room and I'm like, yo, Millie's, whatever, just I tried to give him my little spiel and shit like that, and he just cut me off. He's like, rap, bro. My shit was blown. I'm like, I got my nerves up, like. I just got to rapping, but I be having certain bulletproof raps, you know what I mean? That whether I'm so I could be wild drunk, I could be in Antarctica in a blizzard with a tank top on, I'm gonna remember this shit. You know what I mean? So I went to one of my bulletproof raps and I'm nervous though, like I got nerves, so like my voice fake cracking while I'm rapping and shit, but I know I got that shit. So I get 8 bars through, they still looking down on the 8th bar, they kinda like look up. Yeah, I'm like, all right, I got their attention. By the 12th bar, I feel like I get a little, like, you know, a little head bob and shit. On the 16th bar, I rap probably like 20 bars and shit. On the 20th bar, they were all smiling, but just a little bit, like not giving me too much play, but like just a little bit. And they're like, all right, we're going to huddle up about it. But I just felt good that I got it off. Like, I don't want to leave nothing on the table in life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Who's the first person to reach out to you after that?
So after that, so yeah, they came back and they said, ah, you in the Cypher, boom, put me on that shit. It aired. I ended up leading off the awards. And I think it was down here, Yeah, it was down
16
here.
16 for sure was down here.
Yeah, in Atlanta. So I led off the awards. My shit was actually blown because I came to Atlanta and they didn't air my shit in the little stadium joint. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, it might be clipped, but then they aired it twice on national TV, so it was lit. But yeah, we did it. It aired in that Charlemagne. Was the first one to say like
shout
over the radio.
Charlamagne.
Yeah, he was like, yo, that white kid, Millie's went crazy. Envy co-signed it. And yeah, shit just started like getting lit from there. And that's when I was like, all right, I could really do this shit. Cause before I had just been going and I had been getting like paid features and being him in Boston. But it wasn't to where I wanted it to be at. And that shit showed me like, all right, no, this shit realistic. And I just followed up with that grind like year after year. And that, now we had big facts, man. Big fucking facts, man.
What's the culture like in Boston? Like,
so I'm from Cambridge. It's like a little different, but it's right next to it. I don't know, like, what's the girl who got the song about Atlanta? She's like, you not from Atlanta.
Oh, Amaretta.
Amaretta, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like one of those situations. I guess I'm from like right outside of there. Yeah, so I'm from Cambridge. Like, we got a lot of basketball players. We got a lot, like Cambridge, like a melting pot of people. The most languages are spoke. We got like a lot of people from the islands and shit like that. Like Patrick Ewing from Cambridge, like Ramil Robinson. We got basketball players, but it's all like 617 culture. So it's right there. Like if you get shot in Cambridge, you go to Boston Hospital.
Okay, yeah.
We like I'm born in Boston Hospital. I went to school.
It's like if you get shot in Decatur, you got a Grady.
Yeah,
it's all
whatever
the same.
That is. Yeah.
It's all the same, but it's just you know.
Yeah, like they got it's different, but it's the same. Yeah, but now I mean the culture, you know, we very prideful in like sports and shit like that. I feel like we don't got our like the music scene never really popped off since like Bobby Brown and like. You know, like New Edition,
Bobby
like
Brown Benzino, from and then Cambridge.
No, he's from Roxbury.
Okay, gotcha.
But it's you know, it's 10-minute walk.
Right, gotcha. Same area.
10-minute drive.
Right.
But yeah, so like, I mean, it's a good culture of artists coming up and shit like that. But we haven't had no stars to really put this shit on the map in a long time. So like, a lot of people like they don't believe in the music. They just starting to believe now, like for real, that this is possible because we got me, Bia, Joyner Lucas. We got a few people going crazy.
So when you were like. When you were coming up, throughout most of your like school career, you were assigned to special education classes, right?
Hell yeah!
Because you have ADHD.
Yeah, I got ADHD and a behavior disorder. They said.
Okay.
And... they
right.
Nah, for real. Everybody now, got that though. Everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's just it's levels to the behavior disorder, you know?
Yeah.
On a high level.
So like when you were in those special education classes, did that kind of discourage you from trying to be normal or that make you feel like, okay, I'm different, so this is something special about me?
Nah, it was more like the first one you said, because it's like, all right, like my classroom is like this, right? It's like the size of this room and it's just 6 kids and we bug out all day. And I know that it's a bunch of normal kids down the hallway because it's 30 kids per class. So I'm like, oh, I'm really cooked. There's something wrong with me. And so, yeah, I think that from like the jump, I knew like, all right, I'm different. I'm not normal. So I'm gonna take a different path in life. I think that's what it taught me like off rip. I'm gonna take a whole different path because I'm young, I'm in 6th grade, but I know, like, all right, if I can't sit in a, it's common sense, if I can't sit in a class with 30 people, something's wrong with me. I gotta, you know, I gotta take another route than them 30 people. So college was off the table, shit like that. Really, school was off the table. I just wanted to play basketball, and once I got cut from the freshman team, or, like, once I didn't make the freshman team and that was clipped, it was all downhill.
And was that the beginning of, like, some of the street history? Because you had
some legal issues. As soon as I got into, like, the special ed classes, between, like, my neighborhood and being in there, because it's like, all right, if we all in a special ed class, we're going to bond every day on the bad shit. Like, you the baddest kid, we the baddest kids, we going to figure this shit out. So, like, I feel like that's where it started, because I started, like, trapping, like, young, just being, like, around them with the mix of that and then my neighborhood. That's where it kind of started snowballing. And once basketball was off the table, shit was clipped, and it was just...
And then, but you go back to the school sometimes and talk to the kids about certain things, right?
Yeah, so I went to, that's dope. I went to South Boston High. That's where like, you know, like the movies and shit come from, like The Departed and all that. I went to South Boston High and I asked them in the class, I said like, how many of y'all feel like you can't be shit in life because you're in this class right now? Raise your hand. They were all like this. So I just want to show them like, you could do more. There's a lot of people in special education, they just don't claim it.
Yeah.
Sure. Motherfuckers don't want to claim that. I put that shit in diamonds. You know what I mean? That was my thing. Like I put SPED, IEP, individual education plan. That's what they give you when they first put you in there. So like, yeah, you know, that's big to me. I just want to show them kids like it's because I thought it was clipped for me in life.
Right.
As soon as I was in there. So if I could make a little difference by just letting them know like, all right, it's not clipped for you. It's however you carry it.
You can unclip yourself.
Yeah, but people don't want to say that they was in special education. I just wear that shit proudly, like, you know?
Did they ever try to give y'all medicine and shit?
Hell yeah.
What type of
medicine? Yeah, they had me on Adderall early. Like, yeah, they had me on Adderall to focus. Or maybe it was Ritalin or Adderall.
Ritalin, yeah.
Yeah, which actually, you know, the weird shit is that's a focus drug. And I could naturally rap, so, like, I would just focus on rapping all day. Like, once I'm off them drugs, I'd be in school, and I'm still not focused on a class. I'm just focused on my raps and shit like that.
Who you raised by, your parents, your mom, your grandmother?
My mom.
Yeah.
Like, I had my pops until probably, like, 7th, 8th grade and shit. I would go to his house on the weekends, but his house was like an artistic house. Like, you ever heard the singer Wapale? Closer to my dreams, getting higher. Yeah, like when she went to Berklee College, She lived with me in that house. Like, my pops would have, like, a lot of artists, but at some point, like, my mom's took me out of that house. She thought it was, like, you know, better to kind of be around her because it was a little hectic in that house. And then I was just here full-time with my mom's.
What's some of the effects you think not your dad not being around or you not being around your dad had on your life?
I feel like, I just wasn't kind of, like, you know, not to his detriment, because, like, I fuck with my pops now.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, when you grow up, you realize, all right, my pops was just a dude who was having kids.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You right. know, we want them to be superheroes and shit. But I feel like the shit that shocked me in life was, like, when I would go outside, nobody really told me that, like, the world is cold like that. I had to find out, like, going outside and dudes punching me in my face for no reason and shit, like, and learn, oh, I had to learn all of this shit by myself. And that kind of gave me like a resentment towards him in the beginning because I wasn't prepared for violence. I wasn't prepared for, you know, just kind of like being a man type shit. And I had to teach myself that and then just look at like whatever role models I had to kind of teach me that too. But I think that was one of the things where it was a little harder being with, you know, like a single mom. Cause she could, even my mother's like anti-violence, like, my mother wasn't even like the type to be like, oh, you better go whoop his ass. Like, I actually, if she was on that, I would have probably caught a smack by the time I was 15 because I learned to fight back myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, nah, I just realized, like, all right, I could either face this shit and fight or I can never come around.
Run forever.
And the basketball court right next to my house. Mm-hmm. So it's either I'm going to just stay in or I'm going to go to the basketball court.
I made the decision. You grew up in a black neighborhood?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to fight.
Yeah, you got to fight. That's what people think this shit. People see this shit now. Like, they think it was easy. Like, nah, there's nothing the industry could do to me that my neighborhood didn't. Because I'm telling you, it might be somebody who don't know me. You might not even really be from my neighborhood. You might be around. Dudes were just taking off on me. So I had to fight a lot extra. Mm. You know what I mean? I got punched in the face for no reason, like 3-4 times till I realized, oh, nah, this shit is clipped. Like, I got to fight. And then after you get that one fight in and you see how people treat you, like, oh, all right, this is the remedy right here. Like,
the champ is here.
Yeah, this is the remedy. Like, just fight back. They going to respect it.
What age did all the tattoos start?
Shit, early, because my father got 3 kids, but one of my brothers, he was always inked like Travis Barker before Travis Barker. Like, before Wayne, before Travis. That's what I looked at, like, when I'm young, like, 7. Like, my brother was inked the fuck up. His shit was blasted. So I always wanted that. And he knew a tattoo artist. So I got acquainted with the tattoo artist probably around, like 16 and shit. Started getting blasted. Mm.
Yeah. You had a situation, shots of No Jumper. So explain the situation. You got in an altercation. And you had to pull out, and your gun, did it jam or fall apart? Because fall apart. Yo, how did this, the gun fall
and
apart?
And it's a funny thing, because people be like catching a wreck on the internet, because I talked about a divine intervention moment, right? Like, I'm spiritual. I believe in God.
That's
I believe.
Real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe God, like, really got me through some things. So I spoke, which I'll probably never speak on another, like, spiritual moment again. You know what I mean? Mm. Because... If God doesn't have a big effect on your life, you might not understand a motherfucker saying he been through some shit that he can't explain.
Right.
That only God can explain. Mm. So, yeah, like, you know, I talked about the one time my shit didn't go off, right? Mm. Because to be me and to be where I'm from, yeah, like, you know, you can read through the lines. Mm. But, yeah, it was a situation where, you feel me, basically, like I had a brand new joint and this was right off the heels of my friends going down for a murder, free smokes, free Buddha. They on my arm. I was lost. I was trying to figure it out. And somebody had gave me a brand new grip. And when I tried to let it go in the club, which there was security, cameras, everybody, it ain't go off. And then when we went to the bathroom, the shit was disassembled. And I didn't know how it would be disassembled because I don't know how to disassemble a joint.
You saying it was
like the safety, like the safe, like the safety.
No, I know that part.
Like the safety pin was out and all of that, and and you know, it's funny because people go crazy on the internet, but I'm with the same homies that we all walked out with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like my shit is very verifiable. You could look, search the Blanco series. You could go to my neighborhood and ask people. You know what I mean? Like what time it is. So for people, it's just funny because they like, oh, that shit. Why would I talk about the time my shit didn't go off? I'm talking about God, but you can't talk about God to ungodly people sometimes. They're not going to get it. You know what I mean?
Mm. But you ain't going to know, baby, beat the internet.
Hell no.
You don't know, baby,
beat the internet. And that's the, that's the one thing y'all feel y'all got on me. And, you know, it's wreck because it's real life. It's my real life. So, yeah, but I have more divine intervention moments. You know what I mean? But I keep that off the internet.
That's fair enough. What do you say, man, being a white rapper, what's your biggest obstacle? Like, what's the thing that's just the most frustrating to you?
Probably when people just don't like you because you're a white rapper. Because that just be the thing. I have people be like, he nice, but I don't fuck with no white rappers. Which I understand, too. Like, that's honestly, like, I feel like the majority of people that don't like me is just, you know, they can't get past it. That I'm not even a traditional white rapper because I'm, like, actually, like, you know, I grew up in the culture. So most of the white rappers that made it, like, you know, if you look at their friend groups, they was, you know, suburban kids and shit like that. And they cut straight through to the white mainstream America.
Mm. So do you think?
So I came through hip hop. So it's a little different.
Mm. So do you think that you're at a disadvantage because of that particular stereotype?
Nah, like I'm at an event. I feel like it's harder to make it. But once you make it, that's when like the white privilege kick in and they give you Target ads and you know what I mean? You get, it's different. So it's harder on the come up, but as soon as you crack that door, it's easier as a white rapper, for sure. Mm. And I still don't feel like I cracked the door all that way, but like, you know, that's my perception of it, at least.
Why you think that is?
Because white privilege, you know, they gonna put you, they feel like, I don't know, you relate to you.
They feel like you cool enough to, when they feel like you cool enough to impress the culture as a, cool enough to sit on Big Facts. Okay, you one of the ones that can influence. So
let's and
like you can do both.
Yeah,
you know, with the little wink, like you feel me? One of those. Yeah,
we got you.
Yeah, shit like that. Mm. See it happen. So it worked both ways. But then, like certain things, like I think people will, say, like to me, like Eminem Raw, like he's one of the greatest rappers ever. Like I don't think he's overrated because he's white. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Which is another conversation.
So it depends. But then there's certain rappers. I think hell yeah, like an MGK for instance. Like he went to he went to rock music without the blink of an eye. You know what I mean? With the blink of an eye. So that's like your fan base is really just jacking you because you're white to me. Mm.
Yeah, it makes sense what you're saying. What you feel? Do you got any regrets though? Through life or through your rap career or whatever?
Nah, I really don't. Honestly, like, I was talking to my man about it the other day. Like, I feel like everything is meant to be. Shit happen when it happens. Everything is meant to be. Yeah, I can't say I regret nothing.
Mm. Well,
I do, but there's certain shit, like, I've been there, like, I wish I told, like, certain homies back in the day to not do certain shit that they did. Mm-hmm. That, you know, like my bros are doing life and shit like that, like natural life, like so. But at the time, we young, I don't know. So I get like those is regrets, but it's shit that I would have never known anyway. They said they need Elsa's. About what? When I get
big fat, big fat, big fat. State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
We talked about that some time ago on Big Facts Friday. Like, what do you think the fine line is in the streets of minding your business? Because you kind of, it's kind of like mind your business, but on the other end, kind of not minding your business to help your homies from crashing out and shit.
Yeah, it's hard because I look at rap like it's like a race to save people. That's how I look at it. Like, it's like a race to save my youngins. I've saved people that's around me. But I preach. Sometimes it's hard to preach. Like, what I do, like, even with my youngins in my neighborhood, I take you out, I put you around some real lit shit, and then I have that conversation with you. Like, you want to be around this, or you want to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm not the greatest role model. I can't just tell you every day, like, all right, get out the streets, because woo, 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 like, you know, all I could do is show you that there's like another life. But yeah, it's a fine line, because you could tell somebody something, but they're going to do what they want to do. And a lot of motherfuckers, their frontal lobe isn't even developed. There's a part of your brain that develops after 24 or some shit like that. So it's hard to talk to somebody. Your whole brain ain't even developed and you crashing out. Because I was there. I was crashing.
Right.
Do you feel like you're going to have to, your whole career, you're going to have to prove yourself because you went to the coach?
Maybe not to the coach, just like,
To the non-believers?
Yeah, to the non-believers. Like, I feel like I've probably proven myself to the, maybe like not like down south yet as much, you know what I mean? But like, you know, I got a lot of stamps in this shit.
No, I'm like, just saying, real. Like, even if you go around, like, the GOATs, like, the Jays and all them, do you feel like it's a sense of, I got to show them that I'm this?
Like, musically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to always be that.
Yeah, definitely. You got to always, like, always deliver. And the crazy shit, bro, is I rap more than any other rapper. Like, if you look at my freestyles and you go online, I'm rapping more than any other rapper in the world for the last 3 years. Literally, statistically, realistically. I'm going to, like, this year I already did, I ain't going to say the platforms on here, but, like, I've rapped for, like, 15 minutes, which is, like, somebody's album.
Yeah.
If you could sit down and rap four minutes straight, that's somebody's album. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm doing that 30 minutes a year consistently. Like, I'm rapping. The guys who are nice, who do high-level rap, they rapping, like, once or twice. They might do, you know, like, the Leakers or something here and there. Couple minutes.
You got one of the most
rapping more than all of them. So
elite cosigns though from rapper, which is Jadakiss.
For sure.
So that's the next question. How did that even come about, and how is it?
Man, I moved to New York. I moved to New York when I was at the height of my shit in Boston. I had just did Summer Jam with Nicki Minaj. I just knew, like, all right, it was like a glass ceiling. It was like, all right, you did this, but that's it. Like, still no national recognition. So I moved to New York. I was taking the Chinese bus back and forth, $15 a day, until I realized, I got to get a spot out here. I got a little spot in the Bronx. And that same week, I met Kiss through my man, Seth Free. My man, Seth Free, is like an older guy who really helped me out on my career. And I paid him for a feature. But he was fucking with the song already. And then after that, I just kept following up with him. Like, if he would be in a club, if he would be in, like, Starlets or some shit for a walkthrough, I just figure out how to finesse my way, get in there, make sure he see me. If he be at a regular club, a show, I'd figure out how to, you know, just get FaceTime with him until his man Ice Pick Jay started really, like, listening to my shit. RIP Ice Pick Jay. Ice Pick Jay listened to my shit and really started like diving into it and realizing like, oh nah, he could sing, he could rap, he could all of that. And he told Kiss, yo, you should co-sign him and put him on your label and shit like that. So yeah, that's how that happened.
Who you feel like believed in you the most, like from the beginning of everything besides yourself, like?
Like in life?
Yeah, just period.
I'll say like my man Kreese. Shout out to Kreese. I never said that in an interview. He's my man, but he's like an MMA fighter too. Not a real MMA fighter, but he could fuck an MMA fighter up. So like I'm telling you, he'll fuck an MMA fighter up. We fought the Boston Marathon Bomber too. I'll tell y'all about that later, right? But my man Kreese stood with me like since I was like 12, 13, he's like that boxing coach telling me, you the GOAT, bro. You don't understand, you the GOAT, bro. So we'd have shows and it'd just be me and him sometimes, but he'd be behind me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And anybody, like, if a rapper dissed me, he'd go beat him up. If you talk bad about me, he'd go beat you up.
Yeah.
Constantly. So he was the muscle, he was my coach, you know what I mean? My fighting coach, he was all of that, and I needed that because, you know, I would fight, but I can't fight like him. So, you know, Kreese was really there for me, like, step by step, for real.
That's up.
Yeah, shout out my dog.
Would you get into, like, a rap beef with somebody just at this point, try to get at you?
Because it's like, it depends. You know, that shit be, like, federal. Like, I don't know. It's getting a little nasty to it. Because I don't want to just, like, rap beef with you. It depends how you know.
Yeah.
But I would say, yeah, like, if somebody dissed me who was, like, above me in stature and it could be just some, like, you know, shit on wax or whatever and I could just flame them like that and up my career, I would do that. But I'm not rapping down to nobody because then I'm going to just want to hurt you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because what am I doing? Like, Yeah, I'm not. It's not an even trade, but I'd wrap up as somebody for sure.
What about on some social media shit?
Nah, hell no.
None of it.
I can't even say suck my dick on Instagram no more. That's how I take my page. And that should be crushing me inside. You know, you just want to fire off that suck my dick, bozo.
The same way.
Block. I used to hit him with the suck my dick, bozo, block. I can't even do that no more. So,
what is the platform for us to be free? I mean, big facts. But what is the platform for us to be free?
Nah, you can talk a little crazy on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that's what I be telling people on Twitter.
You talk a little crazy on Twitter,
yeah,
I guess.
Get back on there.
Yeah, you got to go on Twitter to get all your shit.
Twitter, hey, Twitter, you can
this
go.
This is the grand say, come to my Twitter, you heard? I'm going to fucking
meet
flame you,
street.
Dog. Yeah.
So you feel like Instagram don't play fair?
Yeah, I mean, shit, like, I still got my page, so.
Okay, you got
but,
you.
But, yeah, I've been seeing, like, yeah, you can't really talk crazy like that.
You can't even, like, say certain shit in another nigga's comments, and they'll still try to, like, flag you, man. That shit is wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
Neither. Mm. Neither. Yeah. No bullshit.
So who would be
I
your
was
president
real,
of choice?
Barack Obama. Or, maybe Bernie Sanders. I like the Bernie Sanders.
I like Bernie. I like Bernie.
I think Bernie could have did it. Yeah.
Old Bernie.
I like Bernie. He ain't no older, so,
yeah, like,
he ain't
I
no older than
you,
Biden.
But you, Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
Oh, man. He said neither. Can I skate with that one?
No. You'll vote. You vote.
I voted for Biden, for sure.
So, but I'm saying, do you want your vote back?
Don't matter. It's the lesser two evils.
Yeah,
it don't matter.
I always take the safe route.
Nah, it ain't safe. It's the lesser two evils.
I ain't gonna lie. Like, I really hated Trump when he was in there. And then I thought, like, I don't know. It was. And then I started seeing, like, Joe Biden is kind of, like, similar, like, to him. Like,
same shit.
You know, so, yeah, I've been off of politics. Like, I just been off of it completely. Like, I don't got no faith in it. Like, it's clipped. I don't pay attention to it. Mm. I was even paying attention to the Russian-Ukraine war until they started telling me all the racist shit. Then I said, I'm not tuning into this no more neither. Mm. So.
Who's your celebrity crush coming up?
SZA. Well, that's recent.
You just shot your
shot. You shot his shot right.
Yeah.
Just let you know.
Damn, coming up. Maybe.
Right now, sis.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. I met her in like 2013 or something like
say?
That.
On the weekend.
What was it
say?
What was your pickup line?
What's up? No, like. I was laying on a beach chair. I was in South by Southwest, and then it was like some sort of I don't know, smokers club, house party type vibe. I had a good beach chair, and she walked by, and I just said, "What's up?" And she was smiling all bright, and I felt like, you know, if I could have pursued it, maybe. But
Oh, you froze. Don't tell me you froze.
Though. Yeah. Now just like a little bit, but not like a freeze. Like I was like, "Yo, I love your music and shit like that." She was like, "Oh, thank you." And she did, but she kept walking. But like I probably had a little space to like, you know, like
say
keep
some more.
Talking and shit. But I was like, "Nah, no doubt." Like
you gotta manifest shit. That shit so it can happen again.
Nah, for sure.
Coming up though,
Probably Maya. Maya,
Maya.
But I say Maya, TLC. Maya, TLC.
Is it all three TLC, right?
Yeah, all three. No, oh, I like them for different reasons. I like the Chili, though.
Yeah.
I like the Left Eye. I like the T-Balls.
You prefer black women over white women?
Well, that's what, that's what I grew up with, for sure.
Why? What made you, what I'm saying, like, why you didn't just go get you a white girl?
Well, they wasn't like around like that. So like by the time I was like meeting, like, see, this is gonna be controversial because like,
it is what it is.
I like all women though. Like, right. let's make it clear, like especially women, now. But yeah, growing up, I was kind of like anti like white girl. I wasn't jacking them because first of all, like if I met them, they was like kind of like the college white girls and they was kind of goofy to me, or they was super like street bitches from like Childstown projects and shit. It's like super ratchet, like so yeah. But my preference growing up was black women, definitely. Now it's all women. Just
if you didn't like the goofies and you didn't like the super ratchet,
I just like the swag, the beauty, shit like that. And then it's like also like, you know, Black girls helped me like a lot, like in my neighborhood, even coming up, because they really be like, "Leave him alone. That's my friend from school." Like, yeah. Not that the dudes like listen to shit, but like,
I was friends.
Yeah. You know, I was friends with like a lot of black girls. Like, those are my homies, and they would vouch for me like in the neighborhood, like. You know, even shout out Lady Repo. She was one of the rawest rappers, and she used to tell people, "Y'all better leave him alone for real." Mm. So yeah.
Where you been that got the baddest women? In your opinion.
See, it depend. Like, cause I really feel like they all over, but and y'all gonna get me in trouble. But I say it depends. I don't know. That's tough. Nah, no kids.
Yeah,
that's a tough question.
So say,
but like Atlanta got the best strip clubs for sure.
Okay,
by far.
You been through Atlanta? You been through all of them? Most of them?
Yeah, most.
Your Magic Cities, your Flames,
yeah,
all that.
Most of them.
Yeah,
I've been coming out here for a little while.
Okay.
If you moved out, if you moved from New York, because you already left your city in New York. If you moved from New York to another city, where would it be?
I want a big crib in the South. Like, I never had a house my whole life, still to this day. You know what I mean? Like, I want a house with a backyard. Like, that's what I want. I want a house with a backyard. So I want to go to the South for real.
With a black girl.
Yeah, and have mad. and have mad legal grips.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I fuck around, get the big truck. I have stupid army guns out here. Like, God. Yeah, like that's, yeah. I could move to, I never been to Houston or nothing. Out here is lit, but I could move to Georgia.
Yeah. Sure. Speaking of like guns, man, what you think the solution is to all this crazy, just active shooter shit? Like if you had your say so of how we could.
In politics.
So like, yeah, like I don't know where this land me on the political shit, but I feel like, all right, first of all, you should make it super hard to get like any type of like chop. Like, it should be easy to get a handgun and hard to get assault rifles, right? I think that, so I know that most people probably like in the South and different places, like they believe you should have all of that shit, right? I think you should probably make it hard to get the shit that can mow people down super quick. But everybody should have the right to have a poll, and I think they should put security in the schools, but like trained shooters that don't freeze up, like you know, real, because the most
tactical,
the most non-violent people are the most violent, if that makes sense. Like, you know, like a kung fu motherfucker, like he not really gonna start a fight with you. A trained shooter's not itching to bust their gun. See what I'm saying? So I would probably put one of them, because we got the budget.
Budget.
If that's not the school budget, that's in the police budget.
Sure.
So put one of them motherfuckers at each school.
Yeah.
And because I'm saying, if that little kid who ran in there and killed all them kids, if he knew, he's going to blow me down as soon as I go in there. Should it be different? You have him, he tracking the cameras all on his phone, got the pole on him. Yeah, and blow them school shooters down. That's what I think. I don't know where that ends me, like politically or nothing.
It's
I'm a Republican or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That's funny.
What's some of Millie's goals, man? Like personal? You know what I mean? We know obviously career goals too, but what's some of Millie's goals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to save people with rap, like, and do it like in an accelerated process. Like, I want to, that's how I look at it. I feel like I've already saved like 3 to 4 to 5 people just straight out the streets. Like, I know for a fact that they wasn't running around with me, they'd be in that shit. And I want to do that for a lot of people. I want to put artists on. I want to put at least 5-6 artists on where they could have, you know, a whole group of people to eat off of them. Shit like that. I think so. Like, just, those are my attainable goals. Like, I just want to get as big as I could get in the music game and fuck around and just put artists on after that. That's my like goals in the next year for real.
So how you keep from letting, like, getting bullied as a kid keep you from being bitter, like, towards the world?
That shit just made me tough. Like, I appreciate it.
Nah, for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate it more. Like, I don't know. Like, it never made me bitter because, like, I had a lot of people that, like, Like, I learned what a win and a loss was early.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people never even learn what a win and a loss is. You're really just going through life. You're not taking, I'm taking extreme wins and extreme losses, so I appreciate it for real. Like,
you already know how it feel to be embarrassed. You already know how to feel to be
embarrassed. Yeah, yeah, hell yeah. And then you also learn, like, all right, this shit didn't kill me.
Facts.
Motherfucker done stomp me out. I'm doing it. I knew how to do this.
Yeah.
Crazy. Motherfucker that stomped me out. My face is intact. Get up, shake my shit off, go to the house, and I'm like, I'm alive. And then the next day, I'm still alive. Yeah. And the next day, you come out, and it's good. And then you feel the feeling of winning the fight. And you like, goddamn George Foreman out this bitch. So it's like, you know, yeah, that's why I'm not bitter, bro, because it's like I had to learn to take wins and losses, because even through my rap career, I took wild rejection. But it just feels like getting stomped out in sixth grade, you know what I mean? Like, that's all it feels like, just emotionally. So, yeah, that's just a blessing, man, for real.
What's that golden moment for you? Millie's in the studio with the golden moment, like, oh, it makes it all worth it. This is the person I always wanted to sit down and collaborate with.
Man, I was in the studio one day, like, so they used to have the D-Block studios in Yonkers. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just like you would think, you ever been in? It's just like you would think a D-Block studio would be. It's in like a factory building, you know, like rugged shit. 90 motherfuckers in there, Timberlands, shit like that. And I came in there one day and Kiss was writing or something. And this shit was so hard. And I'm like, yo, bro, can I write to that? It took me just courage just to ask him that. And he's like, yeah, right. And I laid my verse, and that shit made it on his album. That was Government Cheese. But, like, that verse, like, me writing side by side with Kiss and getting on his album, that was it for me.
I gave you the
Yeah, like, can't nobody fuck with me. Like, I done sat down with Kiss, and I mean, no artist could fuck with me in the world. That's how I feel, like, because I sat down with Kiss. I penned a 16. He loved it and put it on his album.
That's hard.
And he really the best. Like, there's other, like, great rappers, but nobody his age or the 10 years under or 10 years under, nobody in none of these brackets can fuck with him right now. A 16. Whoever.
Nah, he showed that at the verse.
The verse, that's what I'm saying. We saw what he was made
about,
of.
I'm talking about he's sharp. Like, we just came from New Orleans. Like, he's sharp. Like, I'm watching, I'm like, I don't know how you do that, because I'm way younger and I'm and I forget some lines. I might get drunk in my shows. I'll be like, cut this song. Oh, I forgot that shit, play the next one. Not Kiss. He going bar for bar for bar for bar. He don't slip, he don't stumble on a word. He's different.
No, for sure.
There were times, and I'm sure there were, where you was thinking about giving up because shit was just fucked up. Like, how happy are you now that you did not throw the towel in?
Man, it's everything. I cried on the plane. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I had a crazy day in LA probably like 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. I had met, it was just a crazy day. Somebody was on my phone who I can't even say right now, but somebody was on my phone. And then I went and I sat down with Snoop, and Snoop just like lectured me for like, you know, like an hour and traded a game with me. Mm-hmm. Man, I ran into my guy Mozzie. I threw the sped chain on him because he showed me so much love. And people was calling my phone about incredible shit. And I had actually just got kicked off a plane. I got kicked off a plane, but I wasn't even tripping. They let me on the next plane. And I just sat there, man. I shed a tear of joy. I was like, yo, I can't. I can't believe. Fuck me up now. I don't know, like, because I just believed, and I don't know where the belief was coming from, because I was just getting so much rejection, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, that shit fucked me up. Like, I just was like, I can't believe it. I shed a tear for real. Like,
So what, knowing what you know now, what would you tell the younger you, like, when you was thinking about, when you was taking those sixth grade, all that shit?
I'd say keep going, and you know, I thought my cutoff age was 30, and that's when I turned it up.
What you mean by cutoff age?
I thought that was it for a rapper. Like, that was it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
just for me to like go crazy, like after my cutoff age in my mind, I would have told myself, nah, don't trip. Like, you got it.
So how your mom received the rap career?
Man, she love it, but she knows it's like a dangerous job too. You know what I mean? Yeah. So she very proud that I'm out the streets. But she also like, you know, she love it though. Like her friends and shit hearing about me, like all their kids hear about me. Like she like a celebrity mom sometimes. You know, especially where we from. But yeah, she knows it's a grind. Like my mother's like my therapist and shit, so she gonna hear all the words. I try not even to put the bad shit on her now though. Like, you know, I try to just keep it like, but I'm used to having her as like my therapist, so she love it.
Do you think the pressure's more intense of trying to get there or trying to stay there?
That's a good, I got some good ass questions. Shit, probably trying to, it's like both, because it's like different, like, but yeah, the pressure's up now, because if my shit fall off, like now I'm actually feeding people.
Yeah.
Before, like if I lose, nobody else really affected.
You lost, yeah.
I lost. Now if I lose, 10, 15, 20 people lose.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, and I just want to do it for my state, so yeah, the pressure's...
Stay on.
Yeah. You gotta what you think? Y'all,
the pressure, how y'all, you gotta stay on.
Do y'all feel that pressure every day?
Of course. Oh,
absolutely.
I really don't know.
Yeah, you.
I'm just being real. We doing what we do.
Nah, but yeah. I mean the pressure of, like you said, doing what you have to do because you know that now you're in the position where more people are depending on you is definitely like a ton of pressure because you know like one slip all this shit can be gone and then that means that all these people that's dependent on me shit's gonna be gone too.
But I just feel like in my situation it's just a different plate that I'm fixing because I've been had to fix plates since I was 14, 15 years old and had the same pressure of taking care of siblings and you know what I'm saying?
I never had that. I was always like, you know, I was always a single child. I didn't have no kids purposely, so now it's just falling on me.
Yeah.
So it's different. Like if you had it, my feet up.
My feet up now, like, you know what I'm saying? God. It's like we just coasting. I'm gonna be 44 this month. So
But that's what
pressure
life,
gone.
Yeah, that's what life supposed to be like.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But I like as an artist, now if I was a rapper, I would feel
that rap pressure hit different.
Yeah, that shit different.
Podcast
different. Yeah. Podcast. We just talking shit, kicking shit. Hell, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We ain't in no competition, so it is what it is.
That's real.
Even the competition that we do have, we call and trade game with each other. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Right. So it ain't really competition. Mm-hmm. But this rap shit, you got to drop a hot song. And then you drop, a hot album, then you drop another album, and then they be like, oh, he lost it.
Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I was thinking about my next album. Like, we number one on iTunes right now. After last album, we charted Billboard. So I was already like, all right, I got to chart higher on Billboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if it's over for me.
Yeah, that's how it be.
And then this one, I'm like, damn, like, yo, I really done pulled out the stops for this. I got Fabio Foreign. I have Fabio Foreign bring his tour bus to the projects my city.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm doing incredible shit. And I'm like, yo, how do I top that? I
don't rap.
I don't went to England. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, where's the, you feel me? I just met Moneybagg outside of here. So, like, that's like, all right, feature. You know what I mean? Because I got to do some incredible shit right now.
Bag on fire too right now.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. They said they need answers. About what? When I get
big fat. State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You probably one of the most outside rappers. Is that just part of how
super
you are?
Outside, bro. How you know that?
We see it.
I'm really.
Before I even.
I'm talking about. Really, I'm really like.
You know, Millie.
I'm really like the most outside.
You might be the most outside.
I'm trying to tell you, like,
rapper.
I be in the trenchitos. yo, I had a couple off days in New York, right? In my schedule, and I had 2 feature videos I had to do. Boom. So one I'm already knowing. My man's like, all right, he's from East New York. Like, I'm like, all right. So he sent me the address. We in Cypress Projects in East New York, which is like the worst shit in the world. You know what I mean? Boom. And these are on my off days. 100 motherfuckers out there. The next day, I'm like, all right, where's the video for the feature? Queensbridge Projects. Mm. Boom, I'm out. You know what I mean? It's just like, yo, this shit is constant. And then like, yeah, but that's one of the things I pride myself on, man. I'm not scared of nothing but God. You know what I mean? So I always been like that, bro. I've been running around Atlanta. I shot a video on Boulevard. That's the spot, right?
Yeah.
Boulevard.
It's right up the street from here.
It's a project. Yeah, 4. Yeah, Boulevard. Mm-hmm. I came down here because I was on a feature with, this is like 10 years ago. I came down and I was on a song with Blue Da Vinci and Cuzzo Fly. And we shot it in like the projects in Atlanta and shit. So it's like it always been like that. My man Dylan here, he done had me out in the trenches since I was a little kid in Boston, like, you know, documenting.
You think that's somewhat of the way with what I was saying earlier, like proving yourself, like that you'll pull up. That's like,
oh yeah, I'm gonna pull up. Yeah,
but I'm saying it's like,
maybe
proof.
It's a pull up, but it's kind of just like I just don't feel that fear. Like, yo, not for nothing, I went to Haiti. Because I grew up with all Zos.
When you go to
motherfuckers
Haiti,
told me right now, Haiti. Do not go to Haiti.
Yeah, boy.
Don't go to Haiti. That's what they told me. They're getting kidnapped left and right. This is what Haitians are telling me.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm on the plane. And it got crunchy out there. But I just feel love. I'm over. Nah, for real. Because it's different. It's different than America. Like, no.
That word is jack, by the way.
Yeah.
It's done. That's my word.
Oh, yeah. No, I got super crunchy out there because it was like, we had SUVs. We got 12 SUVs and we got sticks, big fucking sticks. It doesn't matter. It don't matter because they're going to look at you and be like, shoot. You point that shit right, shoot. You know what I mean? Like, that's what type of time they on with the dudes out there. Like, it's just, it's a different level. But shout out Haiti. It was beautiful, though. Like, it was beautiful. But yeah, I'm going anywhere, bro. I told motherfuckers, you could book me in Ukraine right now. I swear to God.
Now you might be tripping.
I'm dead ass, bro. You could book me in Ukraine for 100 stacks right now. I need that six figures. I'll go out there. You know what I mean? Like, I'll take your word. I'm going to be straight. I got God with me. Like, I'll go anywhere. I'll go anywhere in the fucking world. Yeah. It's proven, documented, factual.
Nah, solidified.
Yeah, scream them outside. I like that, man. I'm glad that you noticed that, man.
Get a lot of phone calls.
Shout out this deli onto you, man. Because they don't be understanding. Like, nah, like a lot of these rappers, they be in the house, man. Like,
why you think that is?
I don't know. Like,
fear?
They never experienced divine intervention.
You privileged.
Going back to the divine intervention.
Don't nobody want to shoot no white boy. You privileged. That's what it is.
That ain't true, though. Because the motherfucker definitely emptied this whole shit on me in front of my mother's house. So.
Nah, I just fucking
Yeah. I thought about it for a second. I said, word. But then I remembered, like the flashes and the bangs.
Damn.
You know what I mean? That should change after you see that muzzle flash. Yeah.
You so feel what's me? The shit you like to do? Like in your spare time and in your
Jay, you always had that bullshit ass question. Retire that question, please.
Okay, it's
done. Damn.
In my spare time, like I like to play dominoes and shit. Now, I like you when I had time, no bullshit. I don't got time no more, but like when I had time, I like the strip club and I like going there early too.
Okay. Early? What? Oh, because you can.
Now, listen. I don't understand why people go to strip clubs late, right? You might as well go there when all the girls check in to work. Mm-hmm. Like, because other than that, like, it's just competition. Why you want to wait until all the dudes is there? Mm-hmm. If all the girls get here at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. How's somebody not from Atlanta giving us Atlanta strip club games?
Well, I don't know for Atlanta, but no, I'm saying, like,
New York,
I'm in Starlitz at 12. Mm-hmm. All the strippers is there. All the bottle girls is there at 11:30. People don't get there until 2 o'clock in the morning. So my $1,000 is gonna look like $5,000, whereas my $1,000
at two o'clock
is gonna look like $200, and they don't care about that measly $200. So it's like I'm stretching my money. That's what I've always been on. So
money
that was
the look, stretching the look too.
Yeah, stretching the look and all of that. Oh God, I'm building relationships, but that's my off time. That's what I do on my off time.
What you on like some food? What's some of your favorite liquor? What's some of your favorite food? That type of shit. On some culture and lifestyle type shit.
I like right now, like I had a kind of hole in my stomach. So for like a while, like in the lining of my stomach from like eating like spicy food and drinking
ulcers.
Liquor. And,
also, yeah.
Yeah, popping pills or whatever the fuck it was, Advil and shit like that. But I started eating like grilled chicken after that, like grilled chicken. So now I really be on like a lot of like Colombian food, like Mexican food now, because they just got rice, beans, grilled chicken. It's like I try to keep it simple, but I love all food though. I love Haitian food. I love Jamaican food if I want to go to sleep. I like a good put me to sleep plate. Look, I'm on that reposado. Reposado Blanco. My whole album about Reposado.
Talk about that album.
Man, just like a mixture of like high level rap, pain, emotion based music. Touching on a lot of subjects, depression, you know what I mean? Anger, sadness, joy. Hard beats. We got a lot of features. We got Mozzie. We got Fabio Foreign, Jadakiss, Styles P. Who I got on there? More Peasy from Detroit, Cousin Stiz from Boston. We got a plethora of artists. That shit, it's fire.
Did that make it competitive for you having all those features? Like making sure your verse was in a certain.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm a good A&R though. So like when I approach somebody, like when I go like get my money back, your verse is gonna be the best. I'm gonna find it. I know what I like out of certain artists. Right. Like I was telling him, like I like your pain shit. I like your shit with Kodak and shit like that. So That's what I try to give an artist, something that I feel is right in pocket for him. Like I gave Fabio something I knew he would go crazy on. Everyone goes crazy on their feature verses with me. Like if you look at my Herbo verse, you look at my Benny verse, Kiss, everybody wraps up to like the highest level for sure. And I got a reputation as a lyricist, so I think that helps, you know what I mean?
What's some of the most key or clutch information you would give somebody on the come up or a young person some game?
Man, I would say like get your face clean with people. You know what I mean? Like pull up, get face value with people as much as you can. You gotta be ready to die for it. You gotta be ready to sacrifice comfort. You gotta be ready to jump at every opportunity, kind of. Like some motherfuckers will feel like they bigger than the opportunity. Like if I know that there's a 15%, when I was coming up, if I knew that there's a 15% chance, like I could meet you somewhere.
Right.
I'm gonna take that 15% chance. That other 85% chance is not gonna register in my head.
Yeah.
I'ma say, all right, this is worth it. I did that every time.
It's like if you was for the cypher 2 years straight.
Yeah. But I'm like that, bro. Like if I hadn't made it right now, if I was coming up in Atlanta, y'all would have seen me 90 times. Mm. I'd have been outside.
No, listen, your team, even with this conversation, we want to do it, but your team was persistent. Like they made sure.
Yeah, consistently. Cause I told them, like, I know, and like, yo, I pride myself on being a realist, like seeing things how they are and not how you want them to be. I know I'm not the biggest artist in Atlanta. I know y'all sitting down with the lit motherfuckers from the South and y'all really it, like y'all the voice of this whole shit.
Appreciate it.
So yeah, I gotta press for that. You know what I mean? Like I rerouted flights and all that because I'm coming here. Like I never I'm going to pass up an opportunity. But being a realist too, to all the artists, like just to touch on that, seeing things how they are, not how you want them to be, that shit will put you at a like it hurts. It'll be painful because you have to look at yourself in the mirror and go, damn, I'm not the biggest artist in the world. Like I feel like I am. Or you know what I mean?
It's hard.
It hurts. But once you take that initial hurt,
you can beat it.
You're able to say, all right, well, this is where I'm starting from. So at least you're starting from a place of reality and not delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Where so many, you got 95% of motherfuckers walking out here delusional because they scared to get hurt about where they really at in life. So I'm the hottest in my city.
You just dropped some jewels.
Motherfuckers
you just dropped some jewels, but we had some bones. We would have hit the bones. Like,
oh God.
You got to see shit for what it is, not for what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
see,
real.
See things how they are, not how you want them to be. And I done told people that. I've had people in my camp try to gas me and say, yo, you hotter than so-and-so. And I go, no, I'm not. Statistically and realistically, we could feel like that, but that's something to prove.
Yes.
And so many motherfuckers let somebody tell them, yo, you hotter than so and so,
right,
and they dead ass walk out the door and feel like I'm hotter than you're not.
You're gonna be great, dog.
Yeah.
If you think like that, you're gonna be great.
Yeah. Be a realist. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, people that say I run my city. Oh, I run my. That's like a casual thing. You meet somebody from out of town. We can meet somebody right now from Arkansas, wherever. They just gonna casually. Now I run my city. That's me. I could tell you. I ain't even gonna tell you I run my city, but I could tell you if y'all come down there, I could put 5-6 SUVs on you. You could go anywhere you want. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Comfortably, like they gonna roll out the red carpet every single place. Like, oh, you. Yeah, so I ain't even gonna say I run my shit, I
put
know.
Put you in a bad position, though.
Yeah, on God.
What would it take for you to sign a white rapper right now? What would he have to have?
Nah, he'd have to be. That's the illest question ever. I love that. Yo, your mind think crazy.
You got me with that one.
Yo, that's like a weed question right there, like. He'd have to be just like me for real.
Okay.
I'd have to like go verify you for real. Yeah, you'd have to be just like me.
Like, so ain't about him just being nice.
Upbringing.
It ain't about him just being nice. He gotta.
Unless like he's somebody I know who could just go right now and I could get a bag and invest it into my other artists. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's. I don't know. Like, there's only one other like white kid I know who's just like me. And that's my brother SK. Like, he grew up in my same neighborhood. He was the first dude in Concord prison with a black cellmate, white and black cellmate. Like the guards don't let you do that. They had to say, nah, this is what it is. Like we rock. So he respected by the black people, the white people, all of that. You know what I mean? So it's like different. Like I don't really be meeting people that's just like me, but I guess if you nice, I'll put you on. That you fucked me up with that question.
Nah, because it's like reason why I asked that question, because it's like. you had to have what you had for Kiss to sign you. Or, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so what is it that...
How y'all feel about, like, white rappers and the climate? And shit
I don't know. I don't really listen to rap no more. I listen to R&B.
But we fuck.
Like, I fuck with your energy.
Yeah, right, yeah, we fuck with you. Yeah.
I fuck with your energy. I don't
but
even
we all, but we all had this conversation, like, but I have to be honest, I've never listened to a full Eminem album. I don't know why. It's not.
I could play you shit though that would change your mind on shit.
On for Eminem,
I feel like I got a playlist of M that I could play to anybody and change their mind.
I've heard.
Yeah, but it's not. But as far as a full project, because just like for me, for instance, because I didn't really weigh in when they talked about this or whatever, but I'm an Eminem fan, but I'm an Eminem fan to certain songs came out at certain times.
His singles, the shit we saw.
Yeah, like, you know I mean? Can't really, like I say, call out a whole project that I've listened to from start to finish or, you know what I'm saying, no shit like that, but his wordplay and his imagination is have out we of give, this world.
Accolades, everything is official, but I think the movie is what made me a fan of him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's
for
not
sure.
the music.
And that could, I mean, for I feel sure. like that could happen with different artists. Like, I was I'm a diehard, like, Nipsey fan, right? Yeah. Like, for real. Like, I got tweets, like, in 2013, Nipsey Hussle, my favorite rapper of all time. Like, documented, right? I told him this.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I got a line. I said, I met Nipsey in Atlanta, told him he the greatest. Y'all call that dick riding. I call you insecure. You got to live through more. Most of y'all so immature. You know what I mean? No, shit like really that. Shit. But I met Nipsey, and I told him that, and I was always on that. But I saw, like, once he passed, like, a lot of people all of a sudden was big fans of his. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them were saying, well, I like the interviews and shit. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a thing with an artist. How you say you fuck with M off the... Yeah. I think that's all around artistry. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
from your
sure.
interviews to your personality to your songs and shit like that.
Because I feel like if you're an artist, your main goal should be to get people to become in tune with you as a person. Because if they do that, you can fucking go sell chicken fries at Burger King. They're going to still fuck with you and follow you and sell out the chicken fries because they fuck with you as a person, even though they were introduced to you through your music.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
You got a brand. So if you got a brand, then it's kind of like you got real fans. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Protect the brand.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Absolutely, man.
Nah, well, we fucking with you at Big Facts.
Hell yeah. Nah, I appreciate it. Yeah.
We need to go up your way and do a live.
Yeah, we trying to do lives in different cities. For
sure. Of course. We got to do that. You know, that's all set up. Like I said, red carpet rolled out. Even when y'all come to New York, you know what I mean? It's my second city. So.
For sure.
But y'all tapped in with the right ones out there.
That's what it is, man. Big shouts out to Millie's pulling up, blessing us on Big Facts, sipping on the deli.
Hey, say that other shit you said again, the bomb, what I was just saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to see things how they are, not how you want them to be. It'll be painful in the beginning, but it'll be worth it, you know, because at least you'll start off on a realistic level of where you're at instead of walking out the door delusional like 95% of the population, you know.
Right. Mm.
Big Facts.
Words for Millie's, man. Check us out, www.bigfactspod.com.
Yeah.
Salute.
You're listening to Big Facts with Big Bank and DJ Scream. Follow Big Facts on social media at Big Facts Pod. Big Bank and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts.
Hey, man, it's all the way up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That merch in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. www.bigfactspod.com.
Yeah, with the real ones one time. Y'all come get y'all some of this merch, man.
Bigfactspod.com.
Let's get
that merch right now. Shop with us.
It's all the way up. Big Fat merch
is going down.
Visit the new website today. www.bigfactspod.com. Visit now.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.